Welcome to the Bible Girl Podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I've gathered my Bible, my journals, some study tools, and highlighters in every color for study time. From the practical to the inspirational, I pray that these podcasts give you the tools and motivation to be a Bible girl too. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm excited to dig into looking at how we read and study God's Word. I'm excited that you're here with me today. This is one of the topics that I like to talk the most about. It's one of the things that I get the most excited about sharing with other people is how to really study God's Word, to read God's Word, to meditate, to think about it, to apply it. Those are things that I'm very passionate about. So this is going to be fun these next few weeks. Today we're starting part one of a two-part section here where we're looking at actually getting into the Scripture. So this week we're going to talk about reading, the difference between reading and study, and a few basic study methods. And then the following week, getting into the Scriptures part two, we will cover some more complex study methods and a little bit about researching things, which we'll all cover next week. And then the last week of this series will conclude with getting the Bible into you. You know, for 2 weeks, we're going to talk about how to get in there and figure out what it's saying and to really dig into it and open up what God might be saying to you. But then more than that, we want the Bible to be inside of us. We want it to change our attitudes, change our actions, change our behaviors, change the way that we look at life, our outlook, and have a worldview that coincides with the message of God's Word and the gospel. And so we'll be talking that last week about how we do that, how we get the Bible into us. And so I'm looking forward to this. I hope that you are too. Just a quick note before we jump into today's topic. I am making printables for this week and the 2 weeks following that you'll be able to download and print out so that you can practice some of these study methods on your own at home. They are available on the podcast page, which is BibleGirlPodcast.com. If you go there on the right-hand sidebar, I think it's the very first link. It says Bible Study Printables. And if you click on that, it will open up to a folder. And inside of that folder, it just takes you right to Dropbox and you can download any of the files in there. There's one folder that's marked letter size that prints out on a standard size sheet of 8.5 by 11 paper. And is formatted so that you can punch holes in it and it doesn't mess up any of the text. And that way you could punch holes and just put it in like a binder and keep everything together in there. And I'm also making them available in the Traveler's Notebook size. Mostly I'm just doing that because that's the size I use. And so I have a lot of these already made up for myself to cut out and to glue or tape into my Traveler's Notebook. So I will be making those available to you in that size as well for those that use that size. Those come two on a page. So when you print those out, you'll just trim those down to the size of your notebook. So that is where you'll find those. They're also on our Facebook page. If you just search for Bible Girl Podcast under groups in Facebook, you should find us. And they'll also be in the files section there that you can download them all individually. So hopefully you'll find those. If you have any questions, make sure that you email me. And the link to email me is also on the podcast page, BibleGirlPodcast.com. Next week, we'll have even more printables. This week, I have four of them for you in a couple of different styles. And then next week, we're going to have way more than that. I just wanted to mention another thing about those printables. One it has lines on it, and there's another format that has grid for those of you that do sketchnoting or for those of you that like a little more order to your notes or to use graphics and things like that. The grid lines kind of help with that. So I have grid lines and regular standard lines available on all the printables as well. Okay, so let's jump in. first of all, why use a reading plan? We're going to talk about reading first, okay? And I advocate using a reading plan, and I want to talk to you about why I think that's really important. There's three main reasons. There's a lot of other reasons, but there's three that really I think are really important to consider. It's good to use a reading plan so that it keeps you from reading only your favorite sections or books. I think sometimes left to myself, I'd read Paul's epistles in the book of Psalms all the time, and occasionally an Old Testament prophet, because I really find such great little gems of truth in there. But getting a well-rounded view of Scripture is very important. So using a reading plan often forces you to read sections that you might not have chosen on your own, but is important to you, because you don't want to just stay in one section. You want to really get a whole understanding of how Scripture works together. And so a reading plan is going to kind of force you out of your comfortable spot into something that's maybe a little different, or maybe something that you might think is a little more challenging. Another reason is because it keeps you focused and it keeps you motivated. If you're the kind of person who likes checklists and likes to try to follow habits and routines in their day, you will really like having a reading plan, because you'll have direction. You'll know where you're going. So it keeps you focused and it keeps you motivated. For others who struggle, having a reading plan on paper, being able to check off what you've completed, gives you a good understanding of where you're going. And also, I think it helps a little bit with that motivation, because you've gotten 5 or 6 days under your belt and you struggle a little bit. Maybe the passage is not as easy to understand as you had been previously reading, and maybe the section you're in now, you don't quite know what's going on, or maybe you're just really busy with seeing that checklist and knowing that, you know, if you skip it, then you're going to be skipping, and it's just easier to do that each day, and you're going to get off track. A lot of times it kind of points you back. So having a plan kind of keeps you focused and keeps you motivated. And then the last reason I want to bring up is it helps you understand themes and books by reading them as a whole. Now, if you only ever hear like this good verse or that good verse, or you only ever read this particular chapter of this particular book, you're never going to get a clear understanding of how the book itself has a cohesive theme from beginning to end, and in many cases has a very distinct style that's unique from other passages. You don't really get that when you just read random parts here and there. Also, when you do a reading plan that contains themes, you get to see what various authors have to say about that specific theme, and how their perspective and what they've been through gives them a unique perspective on it that you may not have seen from a different writer. So it's important to kind of get a well-rounded view of Scripture, but you can understand those themes and get that picture better by reading something as a whole. So ideally, you would want to choose a reading plan that contains a whole book from beginning to end, or possibly a reading plan that is on a certain theme, where you're going to look at God's love or the Holy Spirit or Jesus' life on earth, something like that, where you're looking at an entire topic or a whole book with a cohesive idea that it's trying to get across. So ideally, reading plans are very helpful for you, and I would say when it comes to reading God's Word, you should start with a reading plan. Now, there are a lot of options for reading plans. In the show notes, I've listed these out, but I'm going to run through them very briefly. You can have your own plans. You can take a piece of paper and just write out all the books of the Bible, or you could photocopy the table of contents in the front of your Bible and pick a book that you'd like to read and read 3 or 4 chapters a day. And if you do that, and when you're finished, you get to the next book and pick another one and you keep going, and you do that daily, you'll finish the Bible in about a year. You can go much slower than that. You can pick a book of the Bible and read a chapter. It's going to take you longer to get through the Bible, but there's really nothing special about reading through the Bible in a year. You know, the whole concept of a year is something, you know, we've kind of made up ourselves. I mean, it's not like God ordained a year. And I don't think there's anything special about that. I think that people who enjoy reading and who like the consistency of doing that can certainly do that. But I generally don't read that much at one time. So if you would like to just do your own reading plan, you can pick. Maybe you'll read one chapter. Maybe you'll read just one section from little heading in your Bible to the next heading. However you'd like to do it, just make sure that you're getting through multiple books. Don't just stay in the Psalms or don't just stay in the Gospels, but print out that list of table of contents and just kind of cross the books off. And don't go back to one you've read before over and over again. Make sure you're constantly picking something new, so you're getting a good view of Scripture. So you can just do that. Something very simple, something very basic, all on your own. If you would like more help or a more structured plan, here are some options for you. You can go to navigators.org and click on the Tools menu. And if you click the Bible Study Tools, they have three different reading plans that you can print from their website. I have purchased these in packs and given them out for years and years. I've used these for a long time myself. They have one plan that starts at the beginning of the Bible and finishes it in a year. They have another plan that jumps around a bit. So you go Old Testament book, New Testament book, and you just kind of hop around, which is kind of interesting. I prefer that to reading from Genesis to Revelations. And they have another plan called the 5x5x5 plan, which will get you through the New Testament in a year. And you do 5 minutes a day. And there's just a little explanation of it on the printable itself. So you can get on there and you can print out those reading plans. They're all three are very excellent. They already come equipped with little check boxes so you can keep track of where you're at. And of course, remember that you can make it your own. You don't have to do as much or as little as they say. You can kind of use them however you need to. Another great site, and I would say one of the most extensive sites or ways to get reading plans, is to go to YouVersion. You can use that on your computer, or you can download the app. YouVersion apps are, they have an app for nearly everything. They have iPhone and Android. They have Kindle apps. They might even have BlackBerry apps, if anybody still has a BlackBerry out there. They have really put a lot of attention into the app. It's well done. And it is full of reading plans. I've never seen any one place with so many reading plans. You can read entire Bible plans where throughout the year or even longer, you can read through the whole Bible. You can do smaller book plans, just reading through the New Testament or the Gospels or the Epistles or something like that. You can also there's just a myriad of theme plans where they take something and maybe on being disciplined or being patient, or it's a fresh day, here's a new start, a reading plan. They have ones that match a lot of things in the church calendar. And so they will often have featured plans that kind of fit the time of year or what's going on. This summer they had a lot of plans about missions, and I think it was really interesting because so many churches are sending teams out on mission trips in the summer, and so they had a real mission evangelical focus in their featured plans over the summer. So I think that is a great place to start. Many of their plans are very small. You can just get a 7-day plan and pick a new one every week and pick a new topic and just kind of jump from thing to thing. Many of them even have little devotionals that go along with the reading. I would encourage you to check them out. I think you'll really enjoy them. And they have some great tools in that app as well that help you highlight things and share it with friends and use the scriptures to encourage one another. I think it's worth your time. It's a free app and they've never charged for anything. Many of the Bibles that the app has in it can be downloaded onto your phone, so you don't need a Wi-Fi connection. Not all of them, but a good many of them can be. So I just can't recommend that enough. Another option is the She Reads Truth, which I've mentioned before. You can do it online. If you go to shereadstruth.com, you can go to the current reading plan, or you can go to older plans and you can read online or have the plan emailed to you for free each day. If you want to use their app, they do have an app, and the app is free, but the reading plans generally cost around $2 or so. And that basically is just to pay for the upkeep of storage space and running an app, which can be quite expensive. So you can check them out. They do topical and they do book studies. So you kind of go back and forth. For a while, you'll do a book of the Bible, and then they'll do a series on a theme. And they kind of go back and forth, which I like. And there's a lot about them to recommend. I think they're a very solid organization. I think the ladies that write the devotionals, for the most part, are really solid. And I don't think you can go wrong there. They also have a He Reads Truth, which I believe is exactly the same, except the graphics are just a little more masculine. But and I think occasionally there are some men that write for them. So you can check those out, and you can, once again, download the apps that you do have them for Android and iPhone. And then, like I said, the website itself is free. I personally lately have been using the First Five app. I alternate between She Reads Truth and First Five. Mostly just back and forth because of the time of life I'm in, what I have time for, and also what they're currently studying at the time. Every once in a while, it'll seem like my pastor just finished preaching on a book and they're going to study it next. And I kind of think, you know, I might have heard everything I want to hear right now about this book, and I want something different, so I'll switch to somebody else. I'm currently doing the Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians study with First Five. I switched over to First Five for that study because I had been really feeling a desire to get into 1st and 2nd Corinthians. I had not read them in quite a while, and so when I heard they were doing that study, it was just a good time to switch over, and just about finished it, and they're going on to Deuteronomy, which I am going to go ahead and do next because I haven't read Deuteronomy in a while either. So that's what I use. The app is free, and you can get the reading and the devotional and everything is in the app for free. There's no charge for those. You can buy an optional study guide that takes you a little bit deeper into the chapter that they're doing each day. And what's nice about them, She Reads Truth also has an optional book. And for those of you that are looking for a little comparison, let me just say the She Reads Truth book generally just has the scripture printed out and has some space for you to write. There's no optional extra questions generally. Some of the books always, a lot of the books have an extra feature. They might have recipes or instructions to make a craft or something that kind of goes along with things. But they're gorgeous. They're beautiful, beautiful paper, well made, but they are, I think, really pricey. I don't think the price is bad for just, you know, to do it once, but to do it every three, four, five weeks, whenever the plan comes to a new thing, can get pricey. I think a year subscription is close to $600. So to me, that's an awful lot of money for Bible study guides. I don't have that kind of money to spend on them, so I don't generally buy them, especially since it's, I don't feel like you're getting anything extra other than beauty. You're not really getting study questions or commentary. You're just getting the scripture, which I own hundreds of Bibles, and then you're just getting some room to write, which I don't write in them anyway because I like to keep my stuff together in my journal. So to me, while they're gorgeous and well-made and I'm sure worth every penny, they're just not worth that to me. So I don't buy them. I do, on the other hand, buy the optional study guides from First Five because they, first of all, they come with questions for each day and they come with a lot of really good charts and graphs and things like that that are very helpful just as a reference to have on hand, but also because they have a digital option. So you can just buy the digital copy for $8 and You don't have to ship it. And then I just load it on my tablet and I just use it from there. Since I write the answers to everything in my Bible anyway, or in my journal anyway, I like having the questions. I like having the charts. I like seeing all that. But I can just kind of write it all out in my journal. And the digital guide is very helpful. If you buy a paper copy, I think it's $12 or $13 plus shipping, but they give you the digital copy free. So that's another little bonus, especially for those who maybe decide to get into the plan a little late. And you can jump right in with the digital copy the moment you order the paper copy. They send it to you right away, which is well thought out, and I appreciate that very much. BibleGateway.com has great reading plans. There's a lot of them on there. And also, the back of most study Bibles will have a reading plan. Many times it's just a very basic plan, but it's a good place to start if you are looking for something and it's just the easy option. If you have a study Bible, figure out where the plans are. Sometimes they have multiple, sometimes it's just one. But I think that's a good place just to jump in and get started there. One other option I want to mention before I get into talking about some other aspects of reading is that many churches will offer reading plans. They'll print them in the bulletin or maybe on their church website. And they often follow the sermon series or maybe the church calendar year. So they would have readings that would go along with maybe what the pastor's preaching or maybe the time of year. So if it's Lent, they may have readings that go along with the season of Lent. And many denominations have their own books that they use that have these readings listed in them. So that's another good place to start if your church offers those. That's something that would kind of dovetail with what you're already hearing and learning and studying, and that's a really good way to go as well. The church I work for, we offer some passages and scriptures for people to read, and we do that in our bulletin. We take about a month off in the summer, but other than that, we provide those year-round with one passage. We have study questions, and our growth groups use that passage and those questions in their growth group, and then there's some other additional passages you can read throughout the week. Your church may have something the same, and that may be a good fit for you, so I encourage you to check that out if you're looking for a good reading plan. Couple things before we move on to talking about studying. I want to say there is a sweet spot, and everybody has it, when it comes to when to read God's Word and how long, how much time you have, and how much of the Bible you're reading at one time. I think that I always caution people against listening to a speaker and hearing them give a definitive, you must read God's Word in the morning, or you must read, you know, only read books from beginning to end without stopping. I've heard pastors say that before, and I wonder, well, how exactly are you reading the Psalms? I mean, that's a long book, and even though the chapters are short, at 150 chapters, I don't have time to read it in one sitting. And so I always just chuckle a little bit at a lot of these absolutes I've heard over the years. I want to caution you against them, because what works for one person doesn't work for everyone. And the most important thing is for you to get into God's Word and for you to read it and to study it. And what works for you, the best way to do it for you is going to be different than the best way to do it for me. I have tried everything, and every time my life shifts a little bit, I've had to readjust. And so, you know, my schedule changes at work, or I start, you know, doing this thing after work with a friend, or whatever it is, and everything has to shift a little bit. And you're going to find that. You're going to find that there are certain things that kind of work well, and then you just readjust it as time goes. So I would encourage you to find a time that works for you, but don't hold to the idea that it has to be at a certain time. For myself personally, I tend to I would say the vast majority of most mornings, and certainly every workday morning, I do my quiet time, my God time. I do that before I go to work, but after I'm ready and I've left my house. I know that if I stay at home, there's too many things that will distract me. And people will talk to me, or I'll just, you know, not be able to focus on anything because I know the dishes are out there, or something, I listen for the mailman, whatever it is, there's always something to distract me. So I go to a coffee shop. So I get ready in the morning, get my stuff together, leave the house, and I go right to a coffee shop, and I'll spend about an hour and a half there. I will go over my schedule for the day. I will study, I'll pray, I'll go over my journal, I'll do a little writing, all of those things that I do that morning. And then I leave and I go to work. And that's the plan that works for me on my work days. Weekends and days I'm off are a little different. A lot of times I will either have my quiet time like right when I get up in bed in my pajamas, or other times a little bit later in the day after I've done some things. If I have to clean and do laundry and things like that, I like to get up first thing, get those done, and then kind of just start my day fresh with the rest of the day on the things that I want to do. And part of that would be spending time with God. So you need to find what works for you. You need to find that sweet spot. And it also comes not only just location and timing and things like that, but even in what you do. I change and mix up what I'm doing in the morning with in my God time a lot, because as much as I like routine, I like things to be a little bit different from the day before. So I keep my routine as far as I do this at the same time every day, at the same place, but I don't always do the same thing. So sometimes I will do, like I said earlier, sometimes I will do the first five study. Sometimes I'll do the She Reads Truth study. Sometimes I'll just pick a different, like a Bible study guide, or just pick a book I haven't read in a while and I'll read that book. You know, I did that not too long ago with 1st and 2nd Timothy, and I just sat down and I just started studying 1st and 2nd Timothy on my own with some of my own little worksheets that I'd made up. And I switched back to She Reads Truth, and now I'm doing first five. So I kind of vary what I'm doing a little bit. And then I also know that I have to kind of stick to about a chapter. Anything more than a chapter for me is difficult, because I find it too much information, and I like consistency. And so for me, I can be consistent with a chapter. More than that, it's harder for me to be consistent, and it's also harder for me to apply what I'm learning and really process it well enough to think it through. So for me, that one chapter is just that's my spot. So I do one chapter a day. I mix up my plans constantly, and I go to the coffee shop, and I do that between getting ready in the morning and work somewhere at a remote location. So that's mine. That's how I do it. You need to figure out how you do it. Don't expect it to look like someone else's. It needs to fit you and be what works best for you. I also want to say a word about consistency. Now, I probably said this in five or six podcasts over the course of the 54 that I've done now, but I think it bears repeating, partly because I always pick up new subscribers constantly, and also because it's something that I almost feel like we need to have this conversation because we forget it, or we forget its importance. So let's talk for just a few moments about consistency. I think in the long game, if we're looking at long term over time, the way we change, the way God works in us, the way growth happens, things happen just slowly in the moments over time. So it's important to remember that if you skip a day, it's not the catastrophe that you may have been led to believe. I don't necessarily think that if you don't get a chance to sit down and do the plan that you've laid out that a specific day, I don't necessarily feel like there needs to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I think that you need to just get up the next day and pick back up and keep going, because the goal is over time. The goal is to continue this over time. So the day in and the day out every single day, consistency is not as important as consistently getting back up and starting again. And that over time, small gains over time yield big results. There have been so many studies about this, and I am been challenged on this just in my own life in some areas to stop making the grand gesture and start focusing more on the day-to-day small things that can be done. And so I think when it comes to Bible study, this is very important, is don't make a plan that's so elaborate that you can't be consistent. Pick something that in the reasonable course of a reasonable day in your life, you can be consistent in, that you could do this every day of your life. And then give yourself a little bit of grace when you have a rough day or things don't go as planned or you don't feel well or you can't concentrate or someone interrupts you or life happens. Just brush that off and get started again the next morning. It's a brand new day. It's a fresh chance to change. We are too easily swayed by an all or nothing mentality. If I can't do it every single day, then I might as well not do it at all. And that's a terrible, terrible idea, because we're never going to be able to do, we don't have robotic lives. There are things that are always going to happen. And this is true with your workout and your eating plans and your the way that you spend time with your kids and discipline them and your house and how you keep up with your laundry and all of these things. Life just happens. There are all sorts of things that are going to derail you from any plan, any routine, anything you want to do regularly. There's just, these things are just going to come up. And your ability to brush that off and just step forward the next day fresh will be what determines how consistent you really are over time. And so I want to encourage you to make a plan that you think you can do. And then I always jokingly say, cut a little bit off of that. Cut like 10% off of that. Because I think we overestimate what we can do on any given day. Especially those of us, myself, that are type A personalities. And once you have that 90% there of the plan, then I think that you need to just, at the top of the plan, if it's written down, just write, grace, not perfection. We're not looking for perfection, and God is not looking for that either. He knows who we are. The Bible tells us He knows what we're made of. He knows how we are. We're weak, and we don't always do everything perfectly. We're not aiming for perfection. We're just aiming for the grace of God each day to start fresh. And so I would encourage you to just make that your goal, is to really just allow the grace and the mercy that God gives us and the strength He gives us each day to help you just brush off yesterday and pick up anew. So if reading is important, I would say that studying in God's Word is just as important as reading. In fact, I think that everyone should spend time studying God's Word. In the past, I've kind of approached it as a, you should read God's Word every day, but you should study as much as you can. But I want to say the real difference, once we understand the real difference between reading and studying, I think you could probably study God's Word every day. And I think that is a reasonable goal. But let's break down what I mean by that, because I have a feeling that we aren't speaking the same language when I say study. Over my years of teaching women in church and serving in a church, I have talked to a lot of people about spending time with God, about Bible study, Bible memorization, reading God's Word. And as I talk to them about Bible study, I have learned over the years that there's this idea in people's heads about study. And they imagine massive volumes of commentaries and Hebrew and Greek dictionaries piled up around them. And this expensive Bible study software and spending 4 hours trying to figure out what a verse means or what this chapter might be saying. And I want to throw that idea out because it's not that complicated. And I want to use this as an example. What I want to kind of compare it to is studying for school. Now, I don't know how old you are. It's been a long time since I've studied in school. I graduated from college in the early 90s. And so it's been a long time since I've had a class. But I know from my own study and from watching others study that when you study a topic, what you do is you take what your class workbook and your class notes and you read through them, you know, kind of side by side, like what you've written out that's kind of important, and you make more notes and you combine all of that into maybe a list of things you think you need to remember, and you'll read over that list. You're basically taking the textbook that the instructor has given you, and you're taking pen and paper, and you're putting down everything that's important, everything that stands out to you, everything that you think you're going to need to remember. And that is Bible study. Now, when you think about it, if you're going to sit there with a whole bunch of reference books and looking all those things up, that isn't the sister of studying. That's actually the sister of research papers. If you remember, you would learn a chapter in the book that the teacher had given you, and you would study it, and you would listen to the lecture, and you'd make your notes, and that was your study portion. But every once in a while, the teacher would say, hey, pick a topic that we just covered in the last 6 weeks that really interests you, and write a paper on it. And so you'd pull out that one small topic, and then you would go and get a whole bunch of books, and you'd read everything you could about it, and you'd learn about it, and you'd write a paper. And that's actually not study, that's research. And I think we often think of research when we think of Bible study. Bible study, as Rick Warren says, the difference between Bible reading and Bible study is that Bible study includes pen and paper. And I want you to stop this for a second and just think about that. All you need for Bible study is to take the Bible that you're reading and add pen and paper. And once you do, once you begin to write out what you see, write things you think are important, write out questions you might have or things you don't understand, you're starting the process of studying. You are digging into what's there and you're making your own notes and you're writing out what you want to remember. And that's Bible study. Now, you can go deeper. Yes. In fact, there's a couple of study methods I'm going to talk about today that have automatic little spots where, oh, this is where you could go deeper. If you want to do some research and look up a good commentary or Bible dictionary or Greek or Hebrew dictionary, if you want to go deeper, this is where you would do it, this little topic here. But you're not going to take the whole chapter or the 3 or 4 chapters that you read that day and do that in-depth study in that. That's what research papers are for. And that's good to do with God's word, but certainly not on a large scale like so many people have this impression in their head. All you need to do to study God's word is to take pen and paper and begin to write down what you're reading and really begin to dig into it a little bit. Write out lists of things, connections, things that you saw in one passage that you see in this passage too, words that are fascinating to you or that you would like to look up one day, things you want to explore further. All of that is what you're including when you have notes. So you're adding pen and paper, and that is Bible study. We're going to talk next week about taking it further. If you want to research something, let's say that there was a term you didn't understand, or maybe there's maybe the passage is talking about the sacrifices in the Old Testament, and you're not quite sure what that means. You can look those things up. We're going to talk about that and how you do that next week. For today, for the rest of this podcast, and I'm going to go kind of quickly because we're going long, is to go over four very basic Bible study methods that you can use with a notebook or with a printable, if you want to print out the ones that I've made, that you can take with a pen and your Bible and use to study God's Word. Now, the first one that I have available, the first printable and the first method, is just a freeform method. It's basically just lined paper or grid paper. And what you can do is you can just write down your own thoughts, what you see there, what you notice, what stands out to you. You can make lists of things. You can, maybe it's Paul and he's talking about all the ways that your salvation has changed your life. Maybe you could just write those out in a bulleted list. Freeform study is just kind of a good entry point. Just write down what stands out to you, what you notice about the passage. It's a good way to get started and study, and there's no rules. It's just blank, and you can just write whatever you would like. If you would like to get a little more involved, there's three other methods here that I'm going to go over. The first one is called the Swedish method, and honestly, that's not the best name in the world, but it apparently came from a group of Swedish students who were doing this particular Bible method and taught it to someone else, and eventually it ended up in a book, and then people all over the world use it now. It's called the Swedish method. The Swedish method relies on three little graphics: a light bulb, an arrow, and a question mark. So as you read God's Word, you're asking yourself, what stood out to me? And that's the light bulb. What am I noticing? What really seems to leap across the page? And then the arrow is asking what applies to me. You know, what in this passage applies to me? What do I need to be paying attention to? Often these are commands or promises of God, or things that God wants us to know or to do or to be. What applies to me? And that's what the arrow asked. And the question mark asks, what don't I understand? What's confusing here? What words don't I understand? What concepts am I missing? And when you get those written down on your paper, then you have a little bit of an overview of what that chapter or that passage was about. The little question mark, you know, what don't I understand? Though that's a good place to dig a little deeper. When you have a little extra time one day and you think, you know, I want to investigate something. I want to do some research. You go back to your question mark passages and you pick one and you start to research a little bit, and we'll cover more of that next week. So that's basically the Swedish method. It's just three specific questions that ask what stood out, what applies, and what don't I understand. And the printable that has those has the little symbols as well as the words, so you can kind of get used to using those. And that's a very simple method, I think, that gives you a good understanding of some basic parts of the passage. The next method I called the God and me method, and but it's also often called the basic method, and I think my printables actually might say basic. This basic method is just three questions, and you'll notice that much of Bible study involves questions, asking questions of the text. When you do a freeform study, you can just ask who, what, where, when, why, and how. Ask those basic questions, the what we call reporter's questions, and you can get a good understanding of the text from just answering those. This particular method, this basic method or the God and me method, is once again just three simple questions. What does this passage tell me about God? What do I learn about him here? That's a good question to ask of every passage you read, because of course the Bible reveals God to us in a way that is rich and full. And I think that your understanding of God, this is another reason why it's important to read the Bible entirely, not just read certain sections, because each part reveals something different about God. And so you want to read a little bit about the God, you know, God's love shines through so greatly in the Old Testament, in the prophets, where we often think of God's judgment, and yet you hear his heart where he says, I'm wounded because you've chosen someone other than me. And I've rescued you, and I've ransomed you, and I've redeemed you because I love you. And you've left me, and you've left to chase other people that can't make you happy. And so you see this heart of God, and that heart of God is that way is only shown in those books of the minor prophets and the major prophets. So once again, and there's more examples of that, you really see aspects of God's character come alive in certain books and certain passages. So that's a good question to always ask. What does this passage tell me about God? The second question of this basic method is, what does the passage tell me about people? This is mankind. This is human nature. What does it tell me about how we are in the world? That you can learn a lot by looking at a passage. Sometimes it's very specific. For instance, in Isaiah, when he says, all we like sheep have gone astray, that tells us that we run from God. And other times it's more inferred from reading the stories of Scripture and seeing yourself there and realizing that you would have responded the same way that person did. And that's probably because that's something that we as humans struggle with. That's part of our human nature, or part of our weakness as sinful creatures. And so oftentimes the passage will tell us a lot overtly and then kind of implied in the passage. And then the last question is, what does the passage require of me? Having read this and knowing what I know now about God and about myself, what does that mean to me? Is there something that I need to do or believe or think a certain way I need to think? That's your application question. And it's really important to make sure that you're asking those application questions as you study God's word. That's the basic method. The last method I have is the SOAP method. This is another somewhat free-form method because it doesn't really ask questions. It kind of does. The S of SOAP stands for Scripture, and that's where you can just write out the reference. If you're reading a larger passage, or if you're doing this on just a verse or two, you could write the whole verse out on the page. Then the O stands for observation. Observation is, what do I see? What am I, as I'm reading this passage, what am I noticing? What's here in front of me? What do I see? And then the A in SOAP is for the application. What should I do with this? Okay, so this is what I see, but what does that mean for me? How do I apply this? How do I live this out? And so that would be your A in SOAP. And then your P in SOAP is prayer. How does this prompt me to pray? Is there something that I can be praying that God does in my life or does in someone else's life? And you can either just put down some bullet points of things you want to pray for, or you can write out an actual prayer on that section. And that's SOAP, Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. These are all just very basic question and answer methods of studying God's Word. There's something that anyone can do. They're not especially complicated. If you take one of these worksheets and a pen in your Bible and sit down and fill in the spaces, you'll be studying God's Word and you'll be digging in a little deeper. Will you have all the answers? No. But regardless of what they tell you, no one else does either. We're all learning and studying, and there's always things that we're seeing afresh in God's Word. And I think that's what makes it such an exciting and rewarding thing to study God's Word, is because it is always instructing us and teaching us and giving us something fresh and new. Once again, all of those papers to print out for those different methods are available on the podcast site. Next week, we'll be looking at more complicated methods of study, some very complicated, some very easy. and we'll have a whole lot more printables. We'll also talk about setting up like a quiet time binder, and I'll have some helps for you for that as well, giving you some pages to consider adding to your binder and giving you a lot of printables for a binder in addition to the study materials. Thank you for joining me. This has been a little bit of a longer podcast, and I imagine next week will be as well, as we talk about my favorite subject. Okay, so here's your assignment this week. Sit down and do a little Bible study. Pick one method. Pick a book of the Bible. Pick a chapter. Pick a 7-day reading plan from YouVersion. Pick something and sit down and give one method a try. And if it doesn't work for you, try another one. And we'll see you back here at the podcast next week. Thanks for listening. Go to BibleGirlPodcast.com to email me, listen to past episodes, sign up for my newsletter, or download show notes and scripture writing plans. Join the Bible Girl Facebook group to download Bible study worksheets and get the latest podcast news. You can also talk with me and other listeners. I'm all over social media as Jessie L. Robinson. That's Jessie, J-E-S-S-I, L. Robinson. I'd love for you to friend or follow me. Join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.